going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We had a very successful bilateral meeting with the Republic of South Korea today. We may be moving faster than I thought, and we will be talking technical terms as early as next week as we reach an agreement on understanding as soon as next week. So South Koreans came early. They came with their A game, and we will see if they follow through on that.
Market's got to like that. Trade deals in the works. Donald Trump, that is Scott Bessent saying that, the Treasury Secretary. Today's YouTube live chat poll is, will there be a major announcement on Tuesday, Trump's 100th day? We haven't answered this poll yet, and I think the first person that should answer the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll today should be Annie Fry. Annie, hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. You're on the road.
Wow, this is weird. What was that intro that I just heard?
That was the Manny Fry Show. We should have just played the regular one since you're here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Thank you for doing the Manny Fry Show today. I appreciate it. Here comes that. Yeah, I told you. I've been trying to get to Schaumburg, which is where we're going today, to go to the Illinois Republican Party Red Gala. I got an invitation to come join a lot of the people in the Illinois State Republican Party at this big event that they do. Congressman Byron Donalds, Governor of Florida hopeful, I think. Byron Donalds is going to be speaking today, so I'm going to get to be in a small group of people with him and have a conversation with him. But the plan was to get up to Schaumburg before noon and do this whole show with you. And that didn't happen because I was helping my kid with a project last night late. So we're trying this from the car, literally on the YouTube live stream with you and on the air on the Annie Fry Show in traffic. Where are we?
About 75, 80
we're
miles
exit
Chicago.
217, which is Dwight. That's,
oh,
that's where we are right now.
Oh, so you already passed exit 126, which is the Russell Stover outlet.
Good math.
I'm just making sure because I just took that drive last week.
We stopped at Wally's.
Oh, you're way up there then. You're already way up there. You're
we're
close.
Trying. We're doing
so
our best.
Are you actually going to have some FaceTime with Byron Donalds?
Yeah. I was supposed to be a part of, there's like a, you know, these big fundraisers, there's like tiers of, you have a big name like Byron Donalds come in and then there are tiers of groups that help make the fundraisers possible so that they can do all the fundraising. So they usually have like, a small, more personal thing. We have Kill Meet In, we do VIP events and stuff like that too. So there was a VIP event I was going to be a part of, but there was a smaller round table that was supposed to happen before the VIP event. And I found out yesterday or the day before that they're going to let me go into that small round table event with him. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh, that's super cool.
When you meet him, are you going to tell him about the first thing first? I'm going to be in the White House on Monday and Tuesday.
No, I'm not going to say that. No.
Are you going to tell him Trump gave you a shout out today?
That was so funny. That was so great. And you don't look like a bucket of chicken.
Well, I feel like a bucket of chicken.
Kind of smells
and
like one, though.
I eat a lot of buckets of chicken, so he wasn't real far off, but he didn't know that. So I was still offended.
He was a great guest. I was sad that I didn't get to be there when he was in, but you guys did a great job with him. Everybody should go see him at the Streets of St. Charles. It'd be really, really fun time.
Annie, this feels a little bit too informal, like we're just hanging out. So
you want me to stop?
I can
hang up.
I just want to know, like, should we talk more about Byron Donalds? Because this guy is ascendant. He's clearly a national name at this point. And you got invited to go meet with him. I've never seen him in person, but I have seen him standing with Jared Moskowitz and realized Byron Donalds is very tall.
Okay, it's funny that you say that because I myself am 5'8". I don't like to be around people who I want to have photos with and be like towering over them. I Googled him. He's 6'2", so I can wear my heels.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, that's part of the research that I don't know if all women do that. This isn't X's and Y's, but I bet you've never Googled how tall someone is before you met him, have you?
I think I probably have. I don't remember who.
You're like, are they taller than 5'5"? I don't want to be a, you know.
Because I'm 5'12".
That's exactly right. You're 5'12".
I'm 5'12".
You're 5'12", Ryan Wiggins. Hey, so, I did a hit on Camo X earlier today.
I heard.
For the pep rally. Did you hear that?
I didn't get to hear the segment, but I heard that you did it. As usual.
Classic Wiggins.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm aware that it exists in the universe, but I know nothing else about it. But I will tell you that I'm fully aware, and please don't follow up.
We got some comments coming in. Can I ask you a couple of questions from the live chat, Annie, while you're here?
I am in a car on a road for another 2 hours. You can ask me anything.
Joe asks, can Annie dunk?
Cookies? Yes. I do not dunk a basketball.
What about with a trampoline?
I can in the pool. I don't know. Trampolines terrify me. I'm not a trampoline supporter.
If somebody put you in a mascot costume and said, go dunk this basketball and gave you a trampoline, you couldn't do it?
Is it offensive mascot costume or is it
depends,
like
are you in Missouri or Illinois?
Cuddly bear. Yeah. If it's in Illinois, it's probably offending someone, that's for sure. No, I can't. There's some cows. You guys want to see the cows?
I definitely want to see some cows.
This is the most important thing.
This is a dynamic interview.
When you are on a road trip, you see cows, what do you do?
You say cows.
Well, of course, you yell cows. That's what Molly, our three-year-old, like, it'll be silent. You'll think she's sleeping. If there's a cow, it's cow! And she will startle everybody. And she's not here, so I'm going to do it for you guys.
Well, let me follow up with the way we started this segment. What is your answer to today's YouTube live chat poll? Will there be a major announcement on Tuesday, Trump's 100th day?
I think that anybody in politics worth their salt better have huge announcements lined up for every day next week. And I was saying this a little bit yesterday, and then Brad found something and sent it to us in our group chat. I think that these trade deals, whatever they have right now, like, you know, a gentleman's agreement or whatever it might be, that's got to materialize next week. And I'm like begging them to have that. I'm trying to will it into existence if it doesn't already exist. But they have to have something big on tariffs. They have to have some other things that they've been working on laid in. You know, another thing is, did you hear about Donald Trump talking about the flagpoles that he's putting into the White House? I don't think we've talked about that.
No, but together. I did see the video. Yeah. I'm so aware the video exists.
I walked into that one. So they're going to put a flagpole in the front, well, both sides of the White House. And I think that I don't hear a lot of people talking about this. Donald Trump is paying for them. It's going on the Trump credit card. But Donald Trump's birthday is also Flag Day. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if Flag Day becomes a bigger deal with these flagpoles going on. I don't know how fast they can put them in. But I think that he's going to be doing some things that are really good, smart, pro-America PR that don't tick people off. And I think we should get a healthy dose of that next week. I'm a yes on the poll.
Are there people that you think there's a good chance that you might see on Monday? I know you don't really know everything that's going to happen, but is there a chance that you might see him or somebody that we're familiar with from the cabinet or anything?
Yeah, I think so. I saw the video earlier this week. Donald Trump was walking out on the lawn, the White House lawn, to scope out places to put these flagpoles. And I sent this video to you guys, and I meant to play it on the show yesterday before I left, and I forgot to. But the tweet that got put out was that the White House press corps didn't know that Trump was going to be coming out onto the lawn, and the press corps was apparently outside. And they show all of these reporters running in their, like, suits and dress suits and pants suits and and they're just like hauling it over there. And I like kind of had a minor panic attack because I was like, I have to run. I can't be the idiot that's like standing back there, but I don't feel like I should be running after the president on the White House lawn. But if everybody else is doing it, then I will do it. I think that's the way next week is going to be. Like, I think it's the White House knows what they're going to do. And I think that it's going to be like drinking out of a fire hose for the country because they're going to have so much. Yesterday's poll was, how do you feel about the pace? And I think that the pace is part of the plan. Because if they're going in hard on tariffs and they're not doing anything else, then of course everybody's just going to talk about tariffs all the time. And they're going to, it's going to get too much oxygen in the room. But when you look at what he's doing on the border, when you look at what he's doing to negotiate with Putin and Zelensky and try to end that conflict, all of these different things that he's trying to do, it's oversaturation. So not any one thing can swallow up all of the oxygen in the room. And I think that next week, I'm hoping, I would assume, they're really good at messaging in politics, that next week, who knows who we'll see and when we'll see them. But at least Monday and Tuesday, I'll be there to bring it to you folks listening to the show.
I don't think I've asked you this question yet, and really this is the perfect opportunity because you can't get mad at me if I ask it and you don't like it because you're not here.
Okay.
You just send me a message, Annie. I'll take care of it.
Are you? No.
I'm pretty sure you'll know. I'm pretty sure Brad and I are in the
Oh, look
there.
At that body language. I think this is going to be a tough Wednesday. Are you nervous?
About what?
About.
Be more specific.
Are you nervous about being in the press room? Tuesday specifically.
Yeah. But I said this to you off air, I think, before the show started one of the days this week. When I got invited to fly with the Blue Angels last year, I was privately going to say no and not tell anyone, even my own family, that was going to happen because I'm not cut out for that stuff. That's not the type of stuff that I do. But my kids found out about it. My husband found out about it, and they looked at me like, Mom, Annie, people don't get to just do this. You have to take this opportunity and you have to go do it. And it's either say no and feel very comfortable and content in my very predictable life, which is really what I've tried to build for myself, and I'm pretty happy with it, or say yes and have an experience of a lifetime. And there's a very similar feeling to this, like to go to the White House. It's a super high risk, high reward opportunity. And I said this earlier on the show, earlier this week, like, I don't get this opportunity if you guys aren't listening to the Annie Fry Show, if you guys aren't supporting 97.1. So I get to do this because of you folks who are listening. And I feel like I kind of have the opportunity to show you something very personally connected to our listenership and our Annie Fry Show family, that if I turned it down, I'd be turning it down on behalf of a lot of people. And so if it's scary and it causes me anxiety, which it does, I just kind of got to hold my breath till it's over and then be like, wow, I really did that. Which every time I see anything with Blue Angels or watch Maverick where they're flying in Super Hornets, I'm like, you could ask my family. They're like, you did that. I'm like, I cannot believe I did that. It's so crazy.
On a scale of 1 to Jonathan Kight, which interview was better in this show so far? Yours or Jonathan Kite's?
Jonathan Kite. Are you kidding me? Get that guy back. Let him do next week, too. That was so funny.
No kidding.
He's so good and chill. Like, you guys did a great job with that interview, but you did. It was just a good conversation, and I love the partnership we have with the Funny Bone because these people come through town and they reach out to Brad, and they're like, hey, can we come by? And we're like, yes, please. So I'm glad you're able to do that, even though I wasn't in.
So we've hit pretty much all the events that you're doing weekdays. We've hit the Byron Donalds today. We've hit the White House on Monday and Tuesday. So we got to mention Sunday, right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Sunday's going to be so busy. 2 p.m. Pep rally. Save Our Mascots pep rally. And I know that there are going to be people who are at this pep rally at 2 o'clock. Collinsville High School football stadium there. All schools are welcome. It's not a Collinsville K-Hawk rally, although they are going to be there in full force. It's an everybody rally. I never was one of these patently offensive mascots myself. I say that in jest. But I support the idea of local control. You've got a state representative in Rockford pushing this out on the communities like Collinsville, like Muskoda, like Granite City, like Cahokia, like I think Carlisle, Calhoun, Westglenn, all of these different places that are going to have to fund these people's offended, hurt feelings. That's not what we do. If you're a Freeburg, listen, if Freeburg goes, it's time to retire the midget, Freeburg should retire the midget if they think that's what the right thing to do. But they're the ones who are going to have to pay for it. Same thing with Collinsville. Same thing with all of these other places that we're talking about. It is not right, like, to pretend that the legislature, this is what really irks me, to pretend that they're solving any problem by passing this legislation and forcing these local communities to retire a mascot that they love is the epitome of virtue signaling. It makes me gag. I'm for local control. My presence at this rally, I'm going to be emceeing it and getting you guys in there and out of there. We're not going to be there for more than an hour. We're going to get this done. My thing is, if you want to pressure Collinsville to retire the K-Hawk, go to the community and say it's time you retire the K-Hawk. And then Collinsville is going to respond. And my understanding is Collinsville is going to tell you to pound sand. But it's up to them, and it's their money. So local control, that's what this is about.
We'll all be there Sunday, 2 o'clock, Collinsville High School Football Stadium. Is where everybody's gathering for that 60-minute rally. It's gonna be fun, actually, and we're all looking forward to it. Annie is in the midst of this.
I don't know if everybody knows that Ryan is a K-Hawk and Brad is a Freeburg midget.
Yeah.
So it affects us very closely, and you guys have a reason to be there that's very personal. So I'm happy to do it for people like you who want to protect what they're doing. World Tour.
Well, I want to thank Annie Fry for joining the Manny Fry Show. It's been a real honor to have you on. From your car. It sounds pretty good. So I know we were worried about that. It sounds good. Looking at cows. It's raining where you are. Is it raining where we are yet?
Those are trees.
Those are
if it's trees. Raining where... Those are not
I've never
cows.
Seen a tree.
We'll Ryan, are you a vegan?
We'll go over farm animals when we get back.
I don't know the difference. I'm just here in a big city.
Bovine.
I've never seen a tree
mascot.
Before. All right, Sunday at 2 o'clock, the Save Our Mascots rally. We'll all be there. And Annie is going to be back. Well, Annie's really going to be a part of the show every single day. And Annie, if you can come back in this show, if there's a reason to... the invitation's obviously open, so come back.
What do you mean? If there's a reason.
Well,
to.
You know, if you're sitting with Byron Donald, he's like, "Let's go live," then let's do it.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Annie, and we will be right back with. I haven't even teased this yet because this is breaking news, but we are going to have Representative David Freese on, Illinois legislator, because there's some big Illinois news. Regarding, you know what? I'm not even going to tell you what it is. Stick around. We're going to talk to him next. It's fun being at the helm today because there's so much happening. An interview with Annie was we knew that could happen, but we didn't know when. And then she was just ready to go. So we said, okay, let's do it. We have a whole lot more to get to in this show. But even while that was happening, there's breaking news right now out of Illinois. And so often when we say that, it's, listen to this new thing that they're doing. It's usually bad news. This is really, really good news, though. And so Representative David Freese, Illinois 115th District, is on to break this news with us. David, how's it going?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Is he there?
No, I got Adam.
You got Adam? This is happening fast.
There we go.
David, hello.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for being with us on such short notice.
You bet. I appreciate you getting me on.
So we just heard, you know, within the last 15 minutes, the news that is breaking. Can you go ahead and share it with us?
Yes. So we were in Springfield this week, and it's our understanding that the homeschool bill that the Democrats were pushing, it is dead at this time.
Wow. Okay. Before I get too excited, does that mean that they've scrapped it and they're going to redo it and come back next week, or is it dead?
Well, this is the problem with legislation or potential legislation in the state of Illinois. No bad legislation is truly dead. It typically will come back in some form or fashion. If not this General Assembly, the next General Assembly, they push and push and push until they get some variation of what they want. So as of right now, I would actually say that it's on life support, but struggling is probably the best way to put it.
So David, why is that? I mean, why have we gotten to this point? Because we all thought this thing was for sure, they were going to jam it through, but it sounds like it's not going to happen.
So actually, I thought that as well. Now, we had tremendous pushback on this. Thousands of people showed up in Springfield, witness slips. It was absolutely amazing. But the key component, from my understanding, is why this legislation is not moving forward at this time, is the Black Caucus does not like it. And as a rule, because there are so many members within that caucus, if the Black Caucus doesn't support it, it is not going to get through. So that's my understanding, and I hope that is true, because I would love to see this bill die.
Wow. As somebody who is very connected to private Christian schools, my wife is a teacher at a private Christian school in Illinois. We are all very, very relieved and happy to hear that. David, what happens next? I mean, is this a plan for the future? Is this how we can boycott anything, or is this specific to this bill?
This is specific to this bill, because my understanding, and I wish I would have been able to have time to speak to this representative when we were up in Springfield, but I found out about this as we're getting off the floor. He actually had a organization or a meeting in his district, and he had thousands of people there in opposition to the homeschool bill. And that was just one rep in one district in Chicago. So if I had to guess, that was the consensus within a large segment of the population in Chicago, just like in my district. I had tremendous feedback from homeschoolers in my district wanting this bill to die.
Can you tell us why the Black Caucus was so against this? Are there a lot of private school, homeschool kids there too?
Well, there are private schools. Now they're typically Christian schools. And my understanding is that there's a lot of Catholic schools up in the Chicago area, and the reason they receive such good support is because if you go to a public school, and this isn't, you know, universal, but a large number of the Chicago schools, they're not safe. You know, if your child's got to go through a metal detector to go to this school, I mean, do you want your kid to go to that school? I mean, my thought would be, no, I don't. And then you've got issues with attendance. You've just got a whole huge number of problems that you don't deal with at the private schools. So I think that had a large part to do with this.
David Freese, I know that you probably weren't intending to say what I just heard, which is that, well, they have a lot of problems with attendance at the public schools that they don't in the private schools, because that was the legislation they were trying to pass on the merits that they were trying to get better attendance in private schools.
Yeah, so full disclosure, my wife's a public school teacher. And I can tell you this, having had so many conversations with her, is if we really want to make changes to the public school system, what we need to do is we need to put pressure on parents. I value education. My wife does. If you do value education, guess what? Your kid's in school. And we need to bring back punishment. And I'm not talking, you know, beating kids, but We need to be able to discipline kids. Right now, they don't want students to have either lunchroom detentions, after school, you know, suspensions, detentions. Any kind of discipline has been removed from the school system. And the kids are very much aware of this. And if you can't punish the kids in any form or fashion, they don't do the schoolwork. And if they do show up, they're let's say, less than productive students.
Yeah. No, David Freese, my wife comes from both public and private schools. She's taught in both. We're all, in fact, Brad, Annie, and I, all married to school teachers. So, and we're all in Illinois, so we're all very much in the same boat. And let's take the wins when we get them, and this is a huge one. So thank you so much,
amen,
for breaking that. I appreciate you.
Yep, I appreciate you having me on.
All right, thank you. David Freese from Illinois 115, breaking some great news there. He's been a part of the pushback as well as all of us and all of you. Man, that is just huge. It's funny. I remember back in, this is probably 20 years ago, I had a pastor when I was down in Carbondale. Not as longer than that because I was in college, that said, you know, there's a lot of things that representatives and legislatures and governors will try to do, and presidents for that matter. But when they start messing with kids, people push back. And it's bipartisan, and people start praying, and people start acting, and things happen when you come after the kids. And we're seeing that in so many issues, this being one of them. This is just, I wish we had applause sound effects, because when he announced that, man, I'm just so happy to hear that my kids who go to my wife's school, I was just so concerned that the state was going to start stepping into their education. It would happen slowly.
Right.
But that's what would happen.
But don't let your guard down. Because he did
totally
talk about that, because that's how Illinois will operate. They'll be like, all right, let's put this out there. We think we got something popular here. And then they'll put it out there, and then be like, oh, this isn't really popular at all. And then they'll pull it down and say, it failed. And then they'll gut a complete other bill, throw the language of this bill in it, and pass it in the midnight hour so nobody knows that it's going on. So if you're out there listening, yes, we're winning, but we haven't won. Keep fighting, keep pushing. Do not let this thing ever come back to life.
Well, people have been watching this one in particular like hawks, because what they would do was, and we knew that they would do this, is they would get a whole bunch of letters. I can't remember the name. Well, there's a specific form that you'd fill out to be in opposition of this bill. And a whole bunch of people, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands maybe, of people would fill that form out.
40,000.
Yeah, 40,000 people. And that was probably the original.
Mm-hmm.
And then so what they do is they'd say, oh, well, we're going to alter this little portion of it. And then all of that gets scrapped. and then you have to start over with the opposition again,
right.
And people would do it again. So that's what's impressive, is that people were watching this so closely because they were so passionate about, look, if you're going to do your public schools, I get it. I'm helping fund the public schools. But don't make me follow your curriculum if I don't want to. I want to go do a Christian school. I want to do a private school, maybe Montessori school. That's not even a Christian school. Maybe you want to do homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do things my way because they're my kids. And this was the first step of intrusion, and everybody knew it. It didn't matter what party you were from. It didn't matter. Everybody who had kids in private schools and homeschools knew what Illinois was trying to do here.
Yeah, the most dangerous place to be is in between a parent and their child.
Yes. So, great news, and very glad we got to break that today on the Annie Fry Show, on the Manny Fry Show. One more story to get to before we get to the end of this segment, since we're talking about Democrat Party. You know what? I don't want to just be like, oh, they failed. But this was a big, big defeat in Florida. I don't know if you saw this. The Democrat Party, this is from Politico, Democrat Party in Florida is dead. That is, quote unquote, from, dead. Believe it or not, the top Florida Democrat.
Ooh.
His name is Jason Pizzo, and he is the state Senate minority leader. He is just ripping Florida, really national because it's the same issues. He's ripping Democrats across the board and saying, look, you've all lost your way. He says the Republican Party has a lot of problems, but the pendulum has swung so far that he said it's going to swing back, but we got to be ready for when it does. So he's still Democrat, but he is lamenting the position of Democrats, specifically in Florida. I mean, this is the leader of the Democrat Senate saying, I'm out. He's actually dropped out of the Democrat Party.
So he just left the party.
Yeah.
So he didn't leave his position. He left the party, or did he?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know which one is which, because he's going to become an independent. He says this party has no future for me. Now, here's the weird thing. And I actually contacted a friend of mine who works in similar to this political talk radio in Florida. And I tried to get him to come on. He couldn't make it today, maybe Monday, if this is still a pretty big story. Actually, it's weird because this is a big story, but it's not cracking the amount of big stories. This is just one of them. But he seemed to imply when I was texting with him, and even there are articles that I've read that say that it's possible. Shocker. You're talking about politics. That he is actually trying to position himself for a Democrat governor's run next year.
Oh.
Against Byron Donalds.
Byron Donalds, yeah.
Probably Byron
but,
Donalds.
But, yeah, I mean, especially in Florida, though, if you are a Democrat going in there with what the National Democratic Party has been pushing, you're not going to have any success in Florida.
And that may be why he's trying to position himself as, well, I'm not really a Democrat. Maybe he runs on the ticket because he has been a Democrat. But he's trying to say, I'm independent. I'm not like those Democrats.
Florida is such an interesting case, too, when you consider, because it's Floridians plus the transplants from New York. And they've gotten a lot of transplants from New York and the Upper East Coast, New England area, because of the draconian COVID policies of those places, the taxes of those places. And those people fled that area, said that was horrible. And then when they got to Florida, people are always worried about an influx of people from those states. They were like, no, we hate that, and we're not voting for that anymore.
Isn't that interesting?
It is so wonderful.
You see people say that a lot. You know, specifically, people were saying it about 5 or 10 years ago about California and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were saying was, If you have all these people leaving California,
don't California my Texas.
Don't California my Texas. Exactly. You saw billboards that were saying that. Don't California Texas. And what they found was that the opposite was actually happening. And I'll bring this back to Illinois, because when you have a bunch of people leaving California to go to Texas, who's leaving? Well, there's some Democrats because they're just leaving for opportunity. There's more opportunity in Austin than there is in Sacramento. Okay, that's fine. That happens. If Tesla leaves or SpaceX leaves or something, a lot of jobs leave with it. That doesn't mean that you're partisan. That just means you're leaving for a job. But if you're leaving for any other reason, ideologically, mm-hmm. you're probably lean right, mm-hmm. at least, if not hard right. So the people that are leaving the blue state, they're already agreeing with your politics, and they're actually making your state redder.
Right.
On the inverse, though, when people leave California or they leave Illinois, which there's a massive out-migration of both of those states right now, Illinois, the problem is the people who are leaving Illinois, they're the red voters.
Yeah, you get bluer.
And so you get bluer, and Illinois knows this, and they're just trying to push through stuff. That's why this win with the homeschool bill being at least defeated for the foreseeable future, as far as we understand it, is so big. Because as we talked to Derek Cox on, what was that, Tuesday, mm-hmm. about the mascot rally on Sunday, he said to me, either off air or on, I don't remember, that part of the problem is when these things come down, we still have to have the energy to say no. We might not win those battles, but you have to stand up and do something about it, or you're definitely going to lose.
Yeah.
And this is a great, great example of what happens when people come together and make their voice pretty loud and say, don't do this. And there was enough of them, and there was enough of them from other sides of the aisle, really, is what happened.
What was really cool about it was it was so loud that the national media heard it, and the national media picked it up and started doing stories on it.
Very cool stuff. All right, we're going to take a short break here. It's been kind of a crazy hour. We will get back on track here with maybe we have Ethan come in. We'll talk about some blues maybe in a minute if he's available. If not, we might continue talking about these EOs that are being struck down from Trump. Stick around. We will play it by ear like we have been doing. This is the Manny Fry Show.
Question from Incognito, who asked why Congress isn't doing more to deal with these district judges who seem so out of control. Well, I can talk about that because I actually testified at a Judiciary Committee hearing in the House just about a week ago, talking about the need to restrict district courts to local district decisions and not allow district court judges to make nationwide decisions that affect everybody as though they were an alternative president. I'm delighted to report that Congressman Darrell Issa actually passed a bill which would block district courts from having nationwide injunctions and instead limit them to their own district. It went through the House. Senator Grassley has a similar bill in the Senate. I suspect it'll pass, and I suspect that President Trump will sign it. So Congress is moving to put district judges back in their district and not allow them to pretend that they're alternative presidents.
I've played that clip from Newt Gingrich a couple times now because it surprises me. When I listened to that last night, I thought, oh, this is Newt Gingrich saying what we all knew, which is that they need to stop doing the nationwide injunctions. They should pass a law. But what he says is, well, they actually already passed this bill through the House, which I think I'd kind of known about. I'm not sure I followed it that closely because I thought once it got to the Senate, what's going to happen? Yeah. It's going to die. What he says in that is, I'm pretty sure it's going to pass and then Trump's going to sign it, which he could just be saying that. But this is the former Speaker of the House saying this. And if he says he thinks that bill is going to pass the Senate, I am surprised.
Yeah. Well, that's what made my ears perk up when I was pulling that clip. He's like, and I think it'll pass. I was like, I'm sorry, what?
I know, me too. What was that?
But I just try to look at things. Let's think it through, see what could be the possible rationale for a Democrat to vote for this bill. And I think the rationale is they don't want Republicans turning around and doing the exact same thing to them that they're doing to Republicans. So they don't want Republicans going to a Texas, district court, federal judge in Texas, judge shopping, I think is what they call it, and getting a bunch of their stuff halted nationwide and tied up in court cases. Now, Republicans historically haven't done that because, like you said earlier, what is it? Something like 80% of these have been against Donald Trump?
Yeah, something like that. Of all the nationwide injunctions ever.
But since Donald Trump won, this is not the same Republican Party that people are used to. And the Republicans will absolutely turn around and tie everything Democrats are trying to do up in courts once Democrats take power.
Your rationale is the only one I could come up with, but it seems a little bit too early in the term to do that.
That's the other side of it.
They would come back later and allow
that. Oh, yeah, we definitely want that.
That's something we want. We want that in about 3.5 years. If it happens, great. This is a weird place to be because if you had come to me a few years ago, I would have said, no, that's probably something, keeping the courts with the emergency parachute there, that's not a horrible thing for if somebody's acting unconstitutionally. But they have used the emergency parachute over and over and over. It's like driving on a donut. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to just use it to get from one place to another.
What happens when this one goes flat?
Yeah. So I don't know that, again, we've entered new territory because Trump. You know, Trump just does things that cause people to overreact. I mean, they just do over and over and over. And so now we're in a place where you really do have a district court judge that was literally unelected. That's what they're spray painting on Tesla dealerships. Unelected, cannot rule. Apply that to the judges. I mean, these people, they're unelected and they're local. They're not even appointed by a lot of times somebody who's national, depending on which court you're talking about. And they are issuing national rulings. They're saying, yes, he was elected. No, he cannot decide that. I decide that. Over and over and over. And it's amazing how many of the judges are the same judges over and over and over, too.
Yeah, the names always look familiar. One case, and then you start recognizing them.
And you know what's even worse is how many of those judges are on the dole for big government spending projects, or their wives are, or their kids are. So they're all super connected to this money. And a lot of times that's what they're stopping is the stoppage of money.
It's kind of gross.
It's the worst. It's the worst form of our government loopholes that they're finding to do this stuff. Because I was reading some of these EOs before that had been stopped, and I'll continue the list. If you want to get the rest of it, get the podcast, because I'm just jumping in the middle here, because there's so many of them. Executive order Trump signed ending DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at government agencies. The White House said the order expands individual opportunity by terminating radical DEI preferencing in federal contracting and directing federal agencies to relentlessly combat private sector discrimination. The court said unconstitutional.
The thing that blows my mind about the DEI stuff is at the root of DEI is the assumption that if you take these, and which DEI is not, E and DEI is equity, not equality. The idea is, and the presumption is that if we remove this stuff, then they're just going to be racist all over the place and not hire any people that aren't white. And it's so dumb to sit there and think that that's where we are as a country.
Yeah.
We are not there as a country. That's stupid. And if you are championing those points, you are stupid for championing those points.
And to think that equity is constitutional, it's just not.
Right.
It's just not.
Because just to clarify, equity is the guarantee of equal outcomes.
Right, not opportunity.
Right.
And you could make the argument that opportunity is constitutional, or at least based on law, but not equity. That's different. That's actually really close to communism. The status of this is that a federal judge on February 21st temporarily blocked the Trump administration from terminating or changing federal contracts they consider equity related. Based on what? Doesn't matter.
Stuff.
They just stopped it. Another executive order here says Trump signed an executive order on January 28th aimed at cutting federal support for gender transition surgeries for minors. Court said, nope, you have to allow it.
I hate that.
Multiple states sued. Guess which states? Federal judges have temporarily blocked Trump's order aimed at restricting gender-affirming care, is the way they put it. So you know this article is not even leaning right.
You're going to go California and Minnesota?
It just says probably, multiple states.
Yeah, probably New York.
I remember reading the story, and it is those states. Anybody under the age of 19, the transfer of or incarcerated transgender women to men's facilities is included in that EO, and the court says, no. Children have a right to change their genitalia. That's constitutional. That was the Founding Fathers intended that.
Yeah, and us to pay for it.
Right. That's part of it, too. Yeah, thank you. And these are all just on hold right now, most of them. Trump signed an executive order targeting, this is a different one, transgender service members, said that the armed forces will have been affected with, that have been affected with radical gender ideology to appease activists unconcerned with the requirements of military service like physical and mental health, selflessness, and unit cohesion. This is strictly a commander-in-chief initiative. He should absolutely have the right to do this. Court says nope. Federal judge on March 18th temporarily blocked the Trump administration from banning transgender people from serving in the military. Legal challenges to suspending asylum. This is the one that's been getting a lot of attention. Trump signed executive order suspending asylum access at the southern border, stating that he has the authority to suspend entry into the U.S. until he determines that the invasion has concluded. Challenge was issued. Status ongoing. It's the same thing over and over.
Over and over,
and a lot of the same judges. A couple more minutes here. I'm going to try to fit in a couple more of these. Trump signed an executive order revoking dozens of executive orders and actions from the Biden administration. Seems like that's pretty...
Yeah, within the president's powers.
Airtight, including a move from former President Joe Biden to withdraw millions of acres of offshore federal waters from a new oil and gas development. Environmental groups sued. Court said, they're right. You're revoking other EOs. How?
It's not even a law.
Unbelievable. Well, we're going to have to break. There's more of these. I'm not kidding that these just go on and on and on. This article isn't even updated within the last few days. This is a couple days ago, and there's been more since then. So we'll take a short break. We are going to talk a little bit of Blues with Ethan in the next hour because he was at the game last night. Man, that was playoff hockey. And it was buzzing.
It was rowdy.
At the Enterprise Center last night. So we're going to talk to him. He was in the press pool after the game. I think he got to ask a couple questions. That's cool. We'll catch up with him. And we will hit this YouTube live chat poll again. Will there be a major announcement on Tuesday, Trump's 100th day? Let us know what you think about that. We will see you just after the top of the hour.